This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Let's go! 1-0-3! 1-2-3!
You're listening to the best of the Dolphins.
Yeah, y'all boys, man. Keep your hands up to 1-2.
A weekly mix of AM 560 Sports, WQAM's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Mike Cugno, you see him on CBS 4 and CBS Sports HQ, and he's a longtime friend of the program. He's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, and at toyotaofhollywood.com. So the game last night, Cugno, we were talking about it. I can't believe what I saw, right? Patrick Mahomes looked lost. Andy Reid seemed outcoached. Travis Kelce was invisible. Like, could you believe it as you're watching it?
No, you couldn't believe it, because for so long, the Chiefs had kind of, I thought, overcome their deficiencies in the talent area. You know, when you guys had me on before the Super Bowl, you asked me who was going to win. I said, I thought the Chiefs, even though I thought the Eagles were the more talented team, the Chiefs always seemed to get it done. And I think it finally caught up with Kansas City. It was just the perfect formula of talent, good coaching, yes, from Vic Fangio on defense, and then that just Eagles defensive line. You know, the offensive line had, I thought, gotten a lot of the love for obviously what they were able to do with Saquon Barkley all year, but to apply that much pressure on Patrick Mahomes all game, there was a sack in the first half where, if you go back and watch a replay, four of the five offensive linemen just get beat man-to-man. Like, there was no other way around it. Four guys got beat, and there's no way you can run an offense when that's happening.
And that's the thing. You bring up Vic Fangio. Was he a genius, or are they just very talented defensive linemen on the Eagles? Because, like, there was no crazy schematics. They were just whooping the offensive linemen's tails. Like you said, there was one, the sack force fumble. Mm-hmm. Everybody was in the backfield. All four linemen had a chance to pick the ball up once 98 slapped it out of his hand. Was that a schematic thing, bro, or was it just they were better, more physical, faster, younger than the O-line?
Well, Carter, let me ask you this. If you can see that you're beating the offensive line like a drum like that all game, wouldn't there be the temptation to be like, you know what? Let's send the house. Let's just get them. And maybe the brilliance in that coaching was, was showing restraint, knowing that those four guys up front were going to get the pressure. That way, your linebackers, your defensive backs, they can now cause problems in the middle of the field and the secondary for Patrick Mahomes. So that's a question I would have for you, because maybe that is the brilliance of what Vic Fangio did, where he could hold back some things because he knew he had the ability to put people like a Cooper DeJean in places to succeed because of how well the front four was working.
And I know we criticize, to your point, Vic Fangio, he looks amazing. He looked amazing. He looks amazing. He was calling the game. Should we pull back some of our hatred for him and maybe pull it somewhere else with him leaving? Because it seemed like Javon Holland did last night, too. We need to stop criticizing Vic Fangio for wanting to go back to Philly.
Let me tell you, when someone leaves South Florida, it seems like it's always an ugly breakup these days. Yeah, I think it's fair. I mean, didn't we get the sense that Vic wanted to be with the Eagles the year he was with the Dolphins anyway? Wasn't there something weird going on there? Yeah. So yeah. I mean, it's like he almost took the job because he was still waiting for that Eagles gig to open up. So it always felt like that 1 foot in, 1 foot out. I certainly don't blame him for leaving if that's where he wanted to be, and it worked out. You know, it stinks that he's still not here because you see how well that Dolphins defense, when healthy a season ago, looked. I mean, they were great at times when healthy. But it does sting a little bit, but you don't have to be mad at him because he kind of told you from the beginning that, not so much with his words, but just kind of his actions, that the Eagles organization is where he wanted to be.
Yeah, but you had him for a year. You can make him fall in love with you. And instead, you gave away wedding cakes and allowed everybody to show up willy-nilly to whatever meeting they felt like coming to. And he said, yeah, I got to hit the bricks.
Wedding cake usually works on you to get you to stay at a party, doesn't it? I mean,
sweets, any cheese whiz. Cuno texted me last night from the granola, the do-it-yourself granola thing at Fresh Market.
The Trail Mix Bar from Fresh
Trail
Market.
Trail Mix Bar.
Big game, big day. Big Trail Mix Bar. Come on.
Awful.
With raisins?
Yeah. What an awful, just an awful existence.
Until you have a dark chocolate covered coffee bean, oof, you're not living.
That was your big surprise when you got the dark chocolate covered coffee bean?
When you bite into it and that little kick of caffeine with sweet, it's awesome.
Poor guy. We're asking this guy's opinion on anything.
What about his guests? Hey,
can you
where's the dessert at? Try a coffee. Well,
I watch the Super Bowl. It's almost like a tradition. I watch it at my desk on like a 19-inch TV for like the last 10, 11 years. So I don't know what you want from me.
Very very deliberate action by him. He gets his granola, his little TV. Happiest camper in South Florida. Can you extrapolate anything from last night? Like, can you look at it and say, hey, Kansas City, for whatever reason, overperformed all season long. They are not as good as we thought they were. And Philadelphia might be at the beginning of a dynasty.
No, I won't take anything away from Kansas City because they still had to beat the Bills on their way to the title game. They still had to basically... How many games did they lose this year? Just like two or three?
Right?
10-0. Yeah, they're a good team, and they proved it. Getting to the Super Bowl, you can't tell me, yeah, you know what? Overrated. How? They were in the Super Bowl for a third straight year, and we're on the precipice of NFL history. I just think it finally caught up with them where they get to these big games, and there's only so much coaching you can do when – the talent on one end just outweighs the talent on the other. And look, that Eagles-Chiefs Super Bowl a couple years ago came down to the wire. It's not like the Eagles got their butts kicked in that game. That could have gone either way. The Eagles made some changes in their coaching and personnel, and they were finally able to close the gap officially with the Chiefs. So I don't take anything away from them. Just all credit to what the Eagles did. If you like defense, that was as fun as two quarters of football you can ask for in terms of just watching one team just continually punch another in the mouth.
And what about the blueprint of it? Speaking of the Dolphins and looking moving forward, watching what the Eagles did, dominate, they scored. Was it? They scored 95 points in two games, NFC Championship and the Super Bowl, 55 and 40. Is that a blueprint? Because they brought it up, Mike. We saw it all. Average lineman, 6'5", 330. Defensive line, first rounder across the board. Like, are we going back to the old school? Because Saquon Barkley still ran the ball, 20-plus times? Or is that just what the Eagles can do, and you can still be this fun-and-gun, wide-open offense and win in this league?
Yeah, that's a good question. I just think it whatever works for you type of thing. Because what the Eagles have done this year, they needed to change something. They needed to be more of that, running team. And so they said, let's go and get Saquon Barkley. They had the offensive line. Now let's be this power running team and that has a little bit more pop, a little more electricity with Saquon. They were right there for a long time with the way that roster stacked up. Is it a blueprint? Is it a formula? Let me tell you, it wouldn't hurt you to try to be that way, to have 6'6", 330 across the board on the offensive line. I don't think any offensive coach is going to complain about a GM who says, you know what, let's do that. That looks like it's working. I think that's what everyone strives for. But in the NFL and with salary cap, you have to make these tough decisions and you have to pay certain people and you don't want to let certain people go. And it's just all where you put your premium. And credit to the Eagles. They put their premium on the offensive line and through the draft, getting Jalen Carter. Those are the guys. That's what wins championships. Can they keep it together? Can this sort of Eagles Legion of Boom defense, if you will, stay together? It was a problem that happened in Seattle. They had to pay somebody, right? And so when you get into the conversation of paying quarterbacks and wide receivers and other defensive players, you have certain fall-offs. That was what, kind of put the end to that era in Seattle. Can the Eagles get it together? I think they've already paid Jalen Hurts, so maybe they figured it out.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know what to do with, I had asked Cuno there, I don't know what to do with last night's game. I don't know if you extrapolate it out further and go, wow, Kansas City overperformed or got lucky. Remember, I remember they won a game where a field goal missed at the end that should have beaten them, where they hit a field goal at the end. I don't know if we'll look back on this season going, man, Kansas City, all the times people bet against them and picked against them, you were right. Like, they got every bounce, every lucky break up until the Super Bowl when they got exposed. Or Philadelphia is just that good.
Like, I think Philadelphia and they is
really,
that good.
I know you said that they tried to shut down Saquon Barkley. I mean, for all intents and purposes, they did. And Philly just was so good that you watched him and you're like, did I whiff on this all season long? Because I never really bought into them.
Yeah.
But, man, did they look complete.
And you go back to last year. Remember Philly was 10-1, and then they had the breakdown, and they lost like 5 of 6 or something at the end and had that breakdown. Well, this roster's put together amazing. And there, I don't know if the dynasty thing, you asked Mike about that. I don't know if this is a dynasty, because to Mike's point, they have now 4 all-pro linemen. They have an all-pro running back. They have Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. I don't know if they can keep all these guys. Darius Slay, DeJean, the young guys they brought in that are starting now, making Pro Bowls. Like, Philly has 12 Pro Bowlers that are going to want Pro Bowl money sooner or later. So they're going to have to give, what's his name, Howie Roseman. He's going to have to continue to reload this roster, but they are very good. Don't take away Kansas City hitting, I think it was, they said it last night, 3 last second field goals. They blocked the field goal to beat Denver. They got all the calls with Patrick Mahomes with the little BS he does when he fake slides and slides at the last second to get the 15-yard penalties. But they are going to be in the AFC playoffs next year. They're going to have to play the Bills or the Baltimore Ravens. They're still going to be there because Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are very good. So I think a lot of people are taking it further saying, is Kansas City done and is Philly the new dynasty? I think Kansas City is not as good as they were in the past, and Philly got a lot better. I would have loved now in what is it, hindsight's 2020. If I could put it back, I would love to see the Bills play the Eagles now.
Yes.
At the end of the season with Josh Allen with the run game, because they play very similar styles of football.
Just for Dolphins fans, I saw a tweet this morning from Spotrac, and it's NFL cap space, and the Patriots have the most. They have $123 million in cap space going into next season. The Dolphins are 30. Out of 32, they have minus $15 million of cap space.
That's not encouraging.
So you gotta. I mean, listen, they thought they had the team, though. They invested money. It's like, okay, you got to keep your guys if you think you've got the right guys. And again, I don't want to make it a Dolphins thing. I believe in them. You watched last night, and you know, I said it facetiously, like. Yeah. Could the Dolphins hang with the Eagles? But, man,
they've got to make it work with what yes. they have. They but, have to make it work with what they have because they're so limited.
And the salary cap problems are the Bradley Chubb redoing Waddle, redoing Tyreek. Like, they gave people a bunch of money. Jalen Ramsey's making a bunch of money. I think out of that crew, Jalen might be the only one to earn his money. Bradley Chubb was hurt. We all know that. The ACL, but
Tua got a lot of money.
Tua got a bunch of money. Like, they put a lot of money in the guys, and those weren't the right guys. Like, DeGene is a rookie. He's getting picked sixth in the Super Bowl. You know, like, that's what you have
impact.
To do.
Impact yes, in the biggest game of the season from a rookie.
They were talking about Mekhi Becton, the left tackle, that gigantic human being. He's a first-round pick. But they brought him over, convinced him to play guard. Then Mulata, the dude used to play water polo or something, or rugby, they taught him how to play football. And now they have one of the best lines in the league. Like, the center, that little bitty dude, he's little bitty, but he's 300 pounds. He wasn't a high draft pick. Like, you have to – we talk about hitting on guys and keeping them. That's what they have to do. We're depending on Liam – I joke, but honestly, if we played the Eagles, Liam Eichenberg is blocking Jalen Carter. I know who has the advantage in that matchup.
That's why, Hawk, when people are asking, are the Eagles a new dynasty? I don't know. Like, I think it's crazy to say, hey, they won a Super Bowl. They've been to two in the last three. They're a dynasty. Who knows? But – I trust Howie Roseman to keep hitting on picks. I trust that front office, the best front office in the NFL over the past 3-4 years, to rebuild the team if they need to so that they're back there 2 to 3 years from now if they can't afford to keep all their best players. Like, that's the difference. The Chiefs are a dynasty. But if you can't build a dynasty because you don't have a generational quarterback, what do you need? A front office that can continue to rebuild your team, continue to fill those holes that need to be filled.
And this is what because I thought about that too last night. Me and Little Chan were talking about this. Let's go to the Final Four. You rebuild dynasties like the Patriots. Like, let's say dynasty. What's a dynasty? We're talking about dynasties. The Patriots, the now the Chiefs, now the Eagles were asking that question. And then it was Washington. And then now we're talking about the Lions. The Lions are going to win double-digit games for years. They have dynasty-type quarterbacks. Is Tua a dynasty quarterback? Because now you have to trust the GM to build around that guy. But Jaden Daniels, in his rookie year, I would say he is a dynasty-type quarterback in the way he plays.
I believe he is.
So to the point of what we talked about when the Dolphins when they were struggling, the weakest link is Chris Greer. The weakest link is talent evaluation and player, additions.
Or maybe it's Mike McDaniel. Maybe it's McDaniel, where he's not changing enough as the game goes on or as a season goes on or his career goes on to adapt to those who are figuring out his shtick.
Hawk, it's funny you say that too about Mike McDaniel, because I'll ask you, because we've talked about this a number of times, we laugh about it, where I like old school football, and that's what the Eagles play, that's what the Lions play. You like the fun and gun, 5 wide, let's go score 60. Would you be happy? Because this is a Super Bowl winning 40-point production. Your quarterback throws the ball 22 times. You rush the ball 40 times, but you still win the game.
No, I was bored out of my gourd.
But you're winning the Super Bowl. The Eagles did it.
Yeah,
the
reason obviously, I'll take a Super Bowl. You want to ground and pound with 11 passes and 65 carries. Knock yourself out. But, no, Solana, I think, was making fun of us last week. I enjoy the 70-point performance against Denver a whole hell of a lot more than give it to Saquon.
Huh, but that's the thing, because the Eagles had to change from 40 pass attempts a game. They did that early in the season. They weren't doing good.
Right, but you have to have the right offensive line to do that.
So as Chris Greer, to this conversation, Chris Greer would have to go get Maulers and say, Mike McDaniel, can you change this to a 3 tight end, run the ball? Because I'm with you.
Mike McDaniel may have said, if you talk to him after the season, he may have said, hey, I would have changed it if I thought we weren't going to get ran over because of our offensive line. I couldn't change it because we don't have the right personnel.
So now the entire building has to change their approach to football. And when they do it, if they do go and spend the first 3 picks of the draft on mauling offensive linemen. If they do go get a big-ass running back and not these little speedsters we have in Achan and Wright and Mostert, everybody runs 4.2s, we go get a big back that can run and get you 4 a pop, and we'll tell you you'll win more games that way. There will be people like you, Hawk, that think it's the boringest football in the world.
Not if it's Saquon or Derrick Henry. I mean, give me one of those guys. I'm not going to be bored.
That's what you're hoping.
If you throw that guy out there that was gaining 0.2 yards a carry for his career.
Kalen Ballage.
Kalen Ballage. Dolphins legend. Yeah, you can get bored.
Hawk, you can't put Kalen behind this line. I'm just saying it's a different football style that I don't know I don't know if fans will like it, and I don't know if Mike McDaniel can call that game.
Hawk, I came away yesterday watching the Eagles' performance saying, you don't need Patrick Mahomes to win a Super Bowl. You don't need Josh Allen or Joe Burrow or Jaden Daniels to win a Super Bowl. Jalen Hurts, I'm not taking anything away from the guy. 2 Super Bowls, he balled in the first one. They didn't lose because of him.
Yeah.
And last night, I'm not watching a generational arm. I'm not watching Dan Marino. But I'm watching a guy who can make all the throws and who's smart with the ball. And because he has the influence of Saquon behind him, he can throw a 45-yard dart to Devontae running right down the middle because you're up with a 30-point cushion and there's no way you're going to throw a dart down the field. Like, Tua can make those same throws. Can he run the ball like Hurts can? I don't know.
No,
but he can make those same throws. You don't need Tua to be Mahomes. You don't need Tua to be Burrow. You don't need Tua to be Dan Marino or Tom Brady. You need a good team around him. That's what the Eagles have around Jalen Hurts.
But the Dolphins have a good team around Tua, except for the offensive line, probably.
They don't have, and with injuries included, because I'll take Jalen Phillips, who I love, and Bradley Chubb. With the injuries of what we went in this season, our trenches are not dominant at all. No one goes into a Dolphin game saying we got to watch for that D-line or O-line.
Hawk, yesterday, the Eagles, every draft pick, I mean, they're highlighting it on the broadcast, every draft pick making a play, aside from the white cornerback that had the pick six, like every guy on the field, they picked.
But Cobb Robinson was a good pick.
He was this year, but remember, Hawk, after that Texans game, most important road game after the last most important road game in Green Bay, a chance to save your season. And Barry Jackson had that column where not this year's draft, but every draft from 2018 up until 2023, not one player was on the field who made a positive impact in that game. That's 5 years worth of draft picks where the Dolphins have, not that they have nothing to show for it, but in the biggest game of the season, they had nothing to show for it. And that to me is the issue. That's why when we do McDaniel or Greer, I continue to side with Greer because Mike McDaniel, he might have his deficiencies for sure. But, I mean, you have a serious issue when guys you're picking.
I have every player Chris Greer has drafted in the first round.
Hawk, before you do it,
taking the reins in 2016.
Yes, quickly before you go there, Josh Sweat, the guy that had 2.5 sacks that ruined the game. The Eagles guy number, he was 94. He changed his number to like 19, 18, whatever it was. They drafted him in the fourth round, 130th overall. He's made 2 Pro Bowls already and was the defensive MVP of a Super Bowl.
Every Dolphins pick from Chris Greer since taking the reins in 2016. Laremy Tunsil. Charles Harris.
Out of the league.
Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Traded.
All pro at another team.
Christian Wilkins.
Just got a $120 million contract from the Raiders.
Tua, Austin Jackson, Noah Igbinoghene. That was all the same year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jalen Waddle, Jalen Phillips.
I think that was the best draft he ever had.
2022, 2023, no first-round picks. And then last year, Chop Robinson.
I don't think Chop is Josh Sweat.
He's picked all right. They haven't retained them is probably the bigger problem.
Player retention and the salary cap and being able to pick and keep, but also having guys perform at young ages, young levels. That's what it's about. You can't pay. People are going to leave for money. Christian Wilkins balled out. We love Christian Wilkins.
But they could have kept him had they made that determination a couple seasons prior.
To the same part, they could have paid Tua less if they paid him early. They could have paid Christian left if they paid him early. But they wait to the last second. Like, this is business plus value, you know, player evaluations plus player retention, and that's on Greer.
Let me ask you this. Do you think when they go into next season and Aaron Rodgers is the backup quarterback, do you think that will make a marked difference in the outcome?
No. If Aaron Rodgers is our backup quarterback, we lose two more games.
What? What are you talking about?
He's going to talk Tua into a bad place. He's going to ruin our locker room culture.
That guy is so perfectly suited to be the backup, him or Jameis.
And complain. I like Jameis. I was hanging out with Jameis in New Orleans.
That to me, he was the breakout star of the Super Bowl.
Yes, he was.
You know what? Should have let him perform at halftime. He was a hell of a lot more entertaining.
We had a live stream with who were we there with? I don't know. I don't want to reference anybody because I don't know who was paying us. But we had a live stream during the EA Sports. EA Sports party, and Jameis came and sat down. And I was like, I asked him, I was like, man, you're doing pregame speeches, but you're not even starting quarterback. He was like, I don't ask. He's like, the team tells me to get in front. He was like, they just know my passion for this game. So all that stuff with the Browns and different teams he's on, the captains of the team that have a C on their chest will tell Jameis, go up front. Because we know we're not going to do a better job than you.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You mentioned the situation that God put you in, but mm-hmm. when we heard you after the Week 18 game, it sounded tough. Like you didn't want to be in that situation yep. anymore. And I understand it's an emotional time, but you said it. So where are you now?
I'm in a good space, man. I've had a conversation with my mom, had a conversation with my wife, and basically, like, as a father, you don't need to put yourself in a situation like that. It doesn't matter how you feel. You know what I'm saying? Like, be able to, you know, man up, because at the end of the day, you are a leader of men. Like, you're a leader of this team. So you got to know how to handle yourself in those moments. Right. Like, take accountability.
Right.
And I'm taking full accountability of what I said, man. Like, I don't deserve to say anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, Miami Dolphins, they paying me to play.
They've been good to me. Right.
So why am I going to go out and say some of the things that I said, man? And I fully take it back, and I'm gonna take full accountability of it, and I'm gonna come back next year hoping to still be there and bust my tail, man, for the team, for the guys, for the fans, for the whole city.
So you want to stay with the Dolphins?
I want to stay with the Dolphins.
100%.
I hear them. They're saying apology accepted.
That was Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill. It's time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com.
All right, Woody, thank you so much. And Kyle Kraft's been real busy last few weeks, joins us from a host of Locked on Fins podcast, as well as the 33rd team. And Kyle, good morning to you. Man, I saw you got things stirred up down here a little bit with the Fins 13th pick, Penn State tied in. Tyler Warren, who's, by the way, a hell of a player. Tied in, though, with the first pick, potentially?
Yeah,
if I knew somebody was going to appreciate drafting a tight end, it would be Joe Rose, of all people, would appreciate a tight end with that pick. You know that position and what it brings, right? And I don't think the Dolphins should put themselves in a headspace, and everybody wants to fix the offensive line, and I agree with that. But are you going to draft a guard at 13? Can you sign guys in free agency that are in price points that you feel like you can get competent starters at a minimum in-house? That's kind of how I feel they're going to attack the offensive line this offseason when you consider they have assets at tackle, they have assets at center. We'll see what kind of decisions they make as far as, like, Bradley Chubb on at defensive end. If they make a change there, I think that could maybe put that in a position where it's a little bit more of a pressing need. But you're missing that X factor. Mike McDaniels talked about the tight end room being really the defining role in the versatility of your offense. And on a week-over-week basis, the guys that have been playing in line as a part of the core that help the run game but can also dictate passing game matchups, it's been non-existent. And Jonnu Smith was a revelation for Miami, but Julian Hill and Durham Smythe combined played over 700 snaps last season.
Yeah,
like that's still a big role that has nothing to do with Jonnu Smith and his contributions to the offense.
No, that's a good point. And those guys were up and down. I got you. No question about it. A lot of people frustrated with that position. And then Jonnu Smith took off. I think you had the stat. I was surprised. What'd you say, at 27% of the snaps? Did I see that?
Jonnu?
Yeah.
It's not 27, but, he was at a snap share that was floating around 500, 600 snaps. I don't have the exact number off the top of my head, but it's probably close to
60%
off the top of my head.
I got to tell you, though, those two guys, you know, to your point, it'll be interesting. But, boy, I'll tell you what, I thought for sure after you watched the Eagles dominate on the offensive line and defensive line, I thought you're like, hey, let's go all in, whatever it takes. If it means a tackle's got to be a guard or you see a defensive tackle out there you really like and you don't think you can get a quality young guy in the in free agency, let's just hit it and hit it quickly. And speaking of that, Milton Williams, I see, had a couple of sacks, is eligible for free agency. How hard would you go after that guy, and how good has he been?
I think he's really developed into a great talent. I really liked him coming out of Louisiana Tech, and he ran in the 4.6s. He had like a 38-inch vertical jump. He had a sub-7-second three. Like he's got defensive end numbers as a guy that was like 290 pounds. Just a freak athlete. But he fell in the draft a little bit because he had shorter arms. Well, he's shown now that he's developed his technique and his placement and his pass rush counters and his ability to deconstruct blocks. Playing in Philadelphia around some of that other talent, I think he'd be an amazing addition to this defensive front. The challenge is, you know, what kind of contracts is Miami prepared to offload to give them the long-term flexibility to potentially add a contract that right. I think is where, like, if you told me he ends up getting paid in free agency what Ed Oliver's making in Buffalo on an annual basis, and that's $16, $17 million a season, I wouldn't be surprised if Milton Williams ends up in that stratosphere when it's all said and done.
Oh, man, I thought you were going to tell me $12, $13 million. Wow, that's – hey, you played great in those games, and he did. He dominated inside. I completely understand it. Hey, so I want to ask you, we played that Tyree Kill. I did that for a reason. I've been saying this, so Mike's talking about making some changes. I'm really curious more than anything else the handling of Tyreek Hill as we get ready to go after apparently a serious talk about discipline and doing the right thing with the head coach and the general manager. What's your take on Tyreek Hill? Because I don't think he's going anywhere. I want him. It's just all the other things of being late, and nobody said it, but he's the guy. He's the guy that's late. What's your take on the Tyreek Hill going forward with Mike and that relationship?
Yeah, I don't know realistically what you expect is going to change. I mean, Tyreek Hill has a major in saying all the right things in the offseason versus what the pattern of behavior is Those are two different things. They really are. So I think if you're going to just run it back and hope that things are better next year, I think there's a pretty high chance you end up not liking the sowing that you're doing from the reaping of that decision. But we'll see what they ultimately decide to do. I think a lot of the messaging out of the insiders this past weekend has been they're going to move forward with Tyreek, and I just don't know how that relationship looks different. Maybe they're banking on the new wide receiver coach to come in and have a little bit of a different temperature in that room. But other than that, you know, it's Tyreek is who he is, and you know, when people show you who they are, I think you should believe them. And I think that's the really fascinating thing that the Dolphins and their decisions this offseason has to be prepared to kind of show.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. You need a strong personality as a receiver coach. That's why I am absolutely shocked Wes Welker was let go. I am shocked by that resume, to what he's done, to knowing what it's like to play in big games, to be part of it that is not the receiver coach. Is just, it's mind-boggling to me that he is not here anymore and they're bringing in somebody else. So I want to ask you, can we get the old passing game back? Because I refuse to talk about too deep anymore. To get that passing game we had a couple years back as part of this offense, can it happen?
Yeah, you know, I think there were more opportunities on tape last year to kind of throw some of those money routes than what they actually took. So I don't necessarily know what the point of emphasis was. I don't know if they kind of got in and they started doing their installs and prepping for games, and they kind of had the realization, like, oh, all these guys up front that we were betting on making big steps because of continuity, it didn't happen. So we've kind of painted ourselves into a corner here for what it looks like. I don't know if that had something to do with it. I really don't know. But they had those intermediate throws more frequently available. And there were times where it was just like, oh, well, we want to get the ball out of our hands fast, and there's free access underneath, so we're going to take it. And I think there's a better balance to be had there with that. But I think you ideologically have to change. You can't be spamming the perimeter screen passes to the degree in which the Dolphins did. If you take a minus play in the red zone and you're facing second and goal from the 12, and you really just punt and throw two screens back-to-back, like, you're in the red zone. You should be trying to score touchdowns.
Right.
And it felt like there were some possessions last year where once they had the minus play, they really just conceded and said, oh, maybe we'll get lucky and pop one.
So
I don't know what has to change for that mentality to change, but I think they'll tell us that with what they go about their business doing this offseason.
Kyle, I always do this, man. We watch a team dominate in the Super Bowl like we just saw. The Eagles were just sensational. And I just go, okay, what can we learn from that? For you, what can the Dolphins learn from what the Eagles just did physically to the Kansas City Chiefs? I mean, just humiliated them.
Yeah, I think the defensive side of the ball, everybody's going to point to the Eagles and their offensive line, and rightfully so. It's the best offensive line unit in football for my money. But the way that they've hit some of those players is different. You know, Cam Jurgens was a day two pick, and Jordan Mailata was a day three flyer that they developed, and Jeff Stoutland gets his hand on these guys, and they turn into gold, and Mekhi Becton was a former busted tackle.
Right.
You know, so that offensive line, there's been enough continuity with the coaching staff there that they have a really good level of program development with Jeff Stoutland. And they've got guys from all different walks of life in the NFL, whether it's Lane Johnson as a top five pick, Jordan Mailata as a seventh round pick, Mekhi Becton in free agency is a bust, a day two pick at center, Landon Dickerson was a day two pick. So, like, that recipe, and that's part of the reason why you go back to the first question you asked me about the mock. I didn't paint the Dolphins into a corner and say, oh, well, they have to draft a tackle here so that they can figure out the offense. Like, there's other ways that you can do it as long as you take the investment into it seriously. But what the story of that Super Bowl for me was Philadelphia's defensive talent and how they loaded up with young, dynamic talent on that side of the ball, because the defensive side of the ball is the reactionary side of the ball. They have to have the quick reflexes to react and more often than not play backwards in space. And having old guys in some of those roles is not a great place to be, because it's harder for you to have those reflexes and initial pop and twitch. So when you get into this draft, it's a great class to need defensive linemen, whether that's guys on the edge or guys in the interior. I think there's some promising guys on the second level and linebackers. I think it's a really good safety class. That's where, you know, if you can collect some more day two draft capital in this year's draft class, that's where I'd be looking to spend a lot of it, because I think that's what the story for Philly was for me.
Well, I'll tell you what, Vic Fangio's story, huh? How about that? 13 takeaways in the playoffs and one first down in the first half is all that Kansas City and Mahomes could put together against that great defense that Vic Fangio. But those numbers from 26 in the league to number one from last year to this year, just incredible numbers across the board. And apparently he does relate, because he played with two rookies, including one that had a pick six for a touchdown. Vic's work, some of the best I've ever seen.
Yeah, and you know, there's some debate out there about the numbers, but they got a lot of that done without even blitzing.
Yeah, that's Pat, crazy.
Right? Jeez. And I think that's another thing for Miami. Man, it'd be great to get a whole season of Bradley Chubb, Jalen Phillips, Shop Robinson, Zach Sealer. Can that group stay healthy? And if it can, what else do you need to add?
Yeah.
So that you have a group that can win organically with four, because life changes so dramatically. And the Dolphins have played something like 25, 26 games without having their top three edge rushers all simultaneously available in a football game. And you have to go back before Black Friday in 2023. So that's another thing for me. You know, the plan for that room, how consistently healthy can you find that room? And I think that would change a lot of dynamics for this football team that we have here.
Yeah, boy, I tell you what, the one thing you can't control is the injury bugs. But Philly, as you said, look really healthy and played great at the end of the year. Kyle, thank you, man. Really appreciate you coming on this morning.
Yeah, good stuff, Joe. It's good catching up with you.
All right, buddy. Kyle Krabs, the host of Locked on Fence podcast, joining us this morning, as well as 33rd team. And just talk a little bit about team and going forward. And we got a lot more. Ron Rothstein's going to join us coming up at 9 o'clock. Talk a little bit about the Miami Heat, some of the new players going forward, and the three-point shot. I don't know about you folks, that three-point shot is a little over the top right now for me, man. It's fine. It's fine if you hit 20 of 40 or 42 or 43 shots. But when you make 11, oh, Lord, 11 of 45 last night, just no shot to win. No shot when you shoot 33% overall anyway. Not good. Hey, I'll tell you what's good every day. Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. That man has no life, and he is always working for you. That's why Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage has been so successful for so long, 35 years, helping people get approved quickly, helping them get that mortgage, helping them get the best rates, getting them approved even on the weekends. Yeah, you're out looking around. You find a place. You want to get rolling on it quickly. You want to get approved. How long is this going to take? Michael Kotze says, man, I'm on it right now. I'm on helping people from first-time home buyers to get the lowest rates to self-employed that have been declined by the banks. He's helping everybody out there. I'll tell you one that he's really been doing a lot of work with. If you live in a condo and interest rates are higher, high insurance rates, HOA fees, everything's going up in these condos. It's getting, all of a sudden, it's a disaster to live in a place you couldn't wait to live in and look at that ocean every day. And here you are, upside down, crazy with credit card debt now, because that's what you're using to be able to pay 28, 29, 30%. Well, listen, Michael Kotze can relieve some of that money stress you're going through, get that credit card paid off, and get you back where you can afford to stay in a place you really wanted to end your retirement in. So let Michael Kotze help you. Reverse mortgages, just as popular as ever. If you and your spouse are 62 or older, you have a lot of equity in your home, or your home's paid off, hey, let Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage take good care of you and get that thing done quickly. Hey, that's what it's all about for him. This guy has truly no life. I'm not taking shots at Michael Kotze. That man has no life. He's always working 7 days a week. Call or text him, 561-441-2730. That's 561-441-2730. MLS 166-254. Rates and terms subject to change daily without notice. He's an equal housing lender.
Hey, you see the San Francisco 49ers giving Deebo Samuel the leeway to go look for a trade? Intrigue ya?
I was going to
happen. Why not?
Too banged up.
That's Mike McDaniel's guy.
Too banged up.
Moose.
Too banged up. You got Tyreek and you got Waddle so you can push the ball down the field.
Oh, yeah. Why would that work this year.
Now would you then bring Deebo in to make it even worse?
Swiss Army knife, dude. You know, it does a little bit of everything.
We got that. H-hand. Yeah, we got that. H-hand.
Debo's a moose.
See, this is your problem.
What?
He's a
this is your problem.
That gets hurt a lot.
A lot. Hmm? Here's the problem. You do realize you don't need Deebo Samuel. You need offensive and defensive linemen. But your ass is going to say, oh, I want him. I want him. Then when they go out and get him, you're going to get excited. And then when Tua gets killed, you're going to say, why didn't they get offensive linemen?
No, I'm not going to say
yes,
that.
Yes, you are.
I'm not going to say
yes,
that.
Yes, you are.
I'm not going
to
say
that's
that.
Exactly what you're going to say.
Hold on.
So I'm
first
trying
all,
to cut you off at the pass and tell you we don't need Deebo Samuel.
Let's be real.
Because it sounds good.
It does.
Dude ain't played a full season in 4 years.
Mike McDaniel's guy, though. He knows how to utilize
it. He hasn't played football.
Figure it out, dude.
Figure what out,
hell? First of all, durability has never stopped the Dolphins from signing anybody. Never. Never point
that.
Never.
That is true.
It's
that
never
true.
Stopped them.
That
never
is true.
Stopped them.
Okay. Then no. Like, so I'll just give you my opinion.
Okay.
No. We don't need them.
It's shocking. You don't want me to do the fun thing. Shocking.
That's not fun. We got those players.
You're a football party.
We got a guy who's better at being Deebo Samuel than him.
Time out.
Ridiculous.
Devon Achane is better at being Deebo Samuel than he is.
Tobin.
Oh, my goodness. You're the worst.
You need a little thunder to the lightning. You know what I mean?
Who?
Did you not see this
season? Who's the thunder?
Did you not watch the Dolphins this season?
Deebo's not thunder.
You did watch the Dolphins this past season.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You did see that they needed offensive line help, right?
Right.
He doesn't care.
So
that's why I got to keep this guy.
We're going to draft a couple of fatties.
I got to give him. And you think that's just going to get it going right away when you draft him?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, baby.
Oh, my God. Dude.
Draft one in the first round. That's got to be it. That's a fucking play.
Can I just say something? It's conversations like this, I want to just choke you.
Go ahead. No, give me your list. What are the Dolphins going to do?
Anybody but Deebo.
Oh, fine.
Offensive lineman. I would like, first of all.
Well,
wait. Hold on. Let me say this. You get on Greer.
Yeah?
For going after the big splash or whatever.
I don't get after him for that. I don't get after him. In fact, what I said was, hey, this is the only thing you're good at. Go get me Myles Garrett. But I'll take Deebo.
Do you understand? You are the only person that would trade for a guy who's always hurt and you have
that's
three
literally
of
them. What Chris does.
You have three of them. You got three guys who do the same crap that Deebo Samuel
but the
does.
The coaches and
you have three of them.
What if Tyreek leaves?
So you have three of them. And your idea is to sign the broke-down original one.
Answer me.
Oh, though. So you want to trade
if Tyreek goes,
Deebo.
Well, let's be real about it. Tyreek Hill is on the outs.
So then, you know what? It becomes Achane's show. Instead of Deebo, you got Achane.
Okay, but put Deebo at the other wide receiver spot.
Oh, my God. Dude, no.
Why not?
He's more of a slot guy.
Well, figure it out, dude.
No, figure it out. Oh, my goodness. Oh, dude.
Let's have some fun, baby.
That's not fun.
It's a
little
fun.
That's not fun.
It's a little
that's
fun.
That's not fun.
You know the rules of football aren't you only get to sign one guy, right? Like,
that's
you can do
not,
other stuff. We
that's
could use
not
our,
fun, though.
It is fun.
Why would... Dude, can I just tell you, if they went out and got Deebo Samuel, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're the only one in Dolphins land that would be happy.
Why?
And then
because
everybody would talk themselves into it.
No it wouldn't.
Yes, they would.
They'd be like, oh, here he goes making stupid moves again. We need offensive linemen and you go get a receiver?
He played 15 games the last 2 years.
Combined?
Total.
Combined?
No, he did not. No, he did not.
Look at the stats.
What was his numbers? What was his numbers?
They were.
No. Give me his numbers. Here's the guy you got. Say, guess what? If you want to get a receiver, I'd take Cooper Kupp over him.
Really?
Yes.
Do we get to keep him?
No. Oh, my God.
Or is he too fast, too talented? How about Christian McCaffrey? Is he allowed to be intangibles?
Huh?
What?
Christian McCaffrey?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can have him.
But Cooper Kupp?
Cooper Kupp. You can have Cooper Kupp. Cooper. We can't. I can't rightly, as a non-intangible, take Cooper Kupp. Right? And I can't even pick him in the draft. If you get a draft, the non-intangibles draft Cooper Kupp. Nah, player.
I don't like what Luis is saying. Tobin just likes to play the violin. He can't believe what he's saying. Just
right.
Revs us
I've been
up.
Telling I know. You guys this I'm telling
longest.
You.
I've been telling you this the
I'm
longest.
Telling you. It is the
I do like stars.
Wait. It is the dumbest thing in the world when at the end of the season, watching all the quarterbacks get destroyed, watching no running game, that you come in the first thing you want.
But he knows the system.
Who cares? Can he play left tackle?
No.
Can he play left tackle? Can he play?
No, but Teron Armstead's coming back. You already have your tackle. You have your center. Dude. So you're going to have to replace the guards.
No, he's first round picking
the guards. Let me explain something to you. This is the only team in the world where you have a starting left tackle, and then you better make sure you have a backup
but
tackle.
But they do. Hold on. Let's look at the Dolphins. Let's be responsible here. Okay?
Let's look how good
the
offensive line has been.
Okay. Teron Armstead coming back, right? Patrick Paul's his backup. Mystery at left guard. Aaron Brewer at center. Mystery at right guard. Austin Jackson at right tackle.
And your solution to this is, let's go get Deebo Samuel.
First round pick, draft me a guard. Give me a fatty. Plug and play. Okay? Second round.
Nobody's plugging.
Plug and play. Okay? Right guard, scrap heap guy. Find somebody who is looked upon as a little damaged. I don't know who that is. I'm not trying the waiver wire. But Leroy, scrap heap guy, just like they did with Connor Williams. Okay, at center.
There you go.
Scrap heap guy at right guard.
Dave South said it perfectly. Tobin wants to put new rims on a car that needs a new transmission.
I don't understand why this is a big deal. Why can't I just like fun stuff?
That's not even fun
stuff. I just said use a first round pick on a guard.
That's not even fun.
I am so happy you said that. So my theory is right. You don't really want your teams to win. You just want to be entertained.
Dude, it was so boring last year.
But
we used to be the fun team. We were mediocre, but we were fun.
But it doesn't matter if you're not
winning. That's
because they
don't protect the quarterback. You can't have fun. Look at how much fun Kansas City had last week.
Not fun.
You know why?
Why?
Couldn't protect Patrick Mahomes. And your solution is, let's go get another wide receiver.
Deebo's 29.
You know how ridiculous you sound?
Yeah, how old is he?
Deebo's 29.
That's not good.
29.
A little longer.
You know
the tooth.
What? In football years, for the position he plays, that's like 42.
That is a little longer than two. I thought he was like 27.
Delusional Tobin.
And can I just tell you?
A real woolly mammoth.
Can I just tell you? He's a little thick.
I know.
When that gets old, ain't a whole bunch of positions you can play.
And he looks zesty.
51 catches for 670 yards last year.
That's what you want to trade for. You know how much he makes?
No. How much does he make?
Probably around $20 million. So 51 catches,
bounce
you want to
here.
Give somebody $20 million?
Wait, you want to put nearly $100 million on a position for three players?
Yeah, no, I'm saying Tyreek's on the outs.
So you wait a minute.
You rather have him over Tyreek?
Tyreek's not sticking around here, dude.
Oh, dude.
The writing is on the wall. I don't know who needs to hear this, but I'm going to put this as plain and simple because we just saw this with our basketball player down here. He's on the outs, dude. Do not believe
so.
Do not believe a word of this apology tour. That dude is not going to be a Miami Dolphin next year.
Yeah?
Tyreek Hill. And I love Tyreek Hill. I love watching Tyreek Hill play football. But when the coach comes out and the coach is like, people are tardy. We need to go with the ultimate ultimatum. He walks out on his team. He bitches about being on the team. And now he should be like, I take it all back. Dude, the first time he has a three-catch performance, he is going to be like belly aching and boo-hooing. One Tua Tagovailoa tweak tip, and he is going to be rats off a ship. Get out ahead of it. Get what you can for it. Writing's on the wall. Cheetah is on the outs. Ergo, give me a Deebo and a bounce back here.
So Leroy, ask your boy this. Why you were so you're quick to let Tyreek go.
Yep.
But Jimmy, no.
Tyreek never took me to the finals.
But Tyreek gave you two of the most exciting years you've ever saw, right?
Oh, my God.
Never took me to the finals. If you guys can't grow up and get that, I don't understand.
Can I explain to you something? Here's what annoys me about that whole situation. You do realize that was a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
Twice.
No.
Twice.
No. Twice. They did it once from the play.
But they did it twice. They went to two finals. Okay. Stop cutting the resume.
So that means you pay him forever because he did that?
No, I wanted to give him one more year.
No.
I wanted to give him one more year. But if you were asking...
Even though you could physically see he quit on the team, you would still give him next year. You would still give... Please answer my question.
On quitting on the team? Obviously not. I drew that line in the sand. Okay. On quitting on the team.
I appreciate you having...
But I did say to pay him before all this nonsense happened.
Yeah.
The damage is done there. Let's move on from there. I am trying to learn from my ways of staying away from the disgruntled. And very clearly, this man is disgruntled. And while he did give me a very entertaining season, Vlad... He never won a finals game with Kelly Olynyk.
Wait, did you see how he tried to say, I'm trying to grow?
I am trying to grow.
I'm trying to grow so I'm not falling for it again.
What I want is Cheetah for Deebo Samuel and George Kittle. Let's go.
First of all, you give me Kittle, John, no, first of all, keep them both. I want Jonnu Smith over Kittle.
Why have them both? Two tight end set.
You know how short your passes would be?
Who cares? That's what they do anyway. They're all scared to throw deep.
They did that because they had no protection.
We give it to you, Tobin. I'm going to give it to you.
You're exhausting, dude.
No, you're my boy,
but you're just bleeping just Tobin, exhausting.
You know what you are? You're Dollar General Harry Roseman. You just want everybody.
Yes.
You just want everybody. You want to make a trade. You want to just grab every great player, put them on your team, and then be the most hated, and you're not going to care about it. Because the other day, you're sounding, making fun of Kansas City, hating that Kansas City.
Yeah.
They get all the calls. They get all the players.
Yep.
You're not upset at them. You're upset because it's not happening to your squad. So that's what you want. You want all the top players. Get you Myles Garrett.
Hold on.
Get you Myles Garrett, right?
Yeah.
Get you Myles Garrett. Get you Deebo, right?
But wait. Yeah. Deebo hasn't been good in 3 years.
Okay.
You don't care.
But he doesn't have Mike. Who hasn't he had in 3 years? Exactly, dude.
You don't think that body's wearing down after being used four or five years?
I don't think he likes Kyle Shanahan.
Excuse me. Oh. Mike McDaniel wasn't even the offensive coordinator.
That was his guy, though.
He was the run guy coordinator.
But they'd use him for both. They did both. In fact, he was like, you know, he was probably long-windedly telling Kyle Shanahan. That's his guy. Get me Deebo, dude. Here's what you do. Cut out the stink, you cut out the fink. So you get out the stink from Tyreek Hill. The rat fink behavior. Get him out of here. Bring me one of Mike McDaniel's guys.
You're not getting that stinking fink bar off and not think you're getting -1. No, that was horrible. That was terrible.
-1.
And he was trying to pass stuff over him. Knew he was so bad, he said it so quickly.
How much caffeine has this man had?
I don't know.
It's a Celsius, bro. Oh, it's the second one for the day.
He just opened another one?
Cool cat.
Can I just tell you, I'm exhausted because what you want in sports is so ridiculous.
No, I don't like we go into football off seasons and you won't have any fun.
You won't have any fun.
I'm trying to win.
Did you know this guy could have hobnobbed with Bill Belichick this week and he chose not to?
He'd rather chill with you.
He'd rather be with me. That's so stupid.
I mean, it is dumb, but that shows what a teammate, what loyalty is all about.
I didn't want to go back home.
Come on,
I
don't want to
be the mayor of New Orleans. I didn't want to go back home.
Yo, you're like the Simpson episode, Tobin, of when they got every baseball player to play for
Mr. Burns.
Mr. Burns. That's what you want for the Dolphins. That's what you want for every team that you love. You want every all-star, every all-pro, every one of them.
I like fun.
But don't you think that there's only one ball so that not everybody's going to be able to catch, shoot, score with all those
around? I think Leroy's right. I think it's a year we trend towards Devon Achane with Waddle.
Wait.
Okay.
First of all, don't ever, because he's trying to say, I think Leroy's right, and then he going to twist his little crap in the back end of that.
You bring in Deebo, a little change of pace.
You know, the government does that. And that's how we end up with all this extra crap. with the main thing, right? Oh, we'll do that border thing, but everybody has to wear pink.
Ooh.
Right? We did the border thing, though. Come on. What are you doing? First of all, Achan is Debo. You can have one or the other. You don't need both. It's a waste of a spot on the field.
And it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com, where we are joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious.
Well, you don't have to worry about that, man. Baldy brings it, whether he's at the Senior Bowl, at the Super Bowl, but nice enough to join us this morning is Brian Baldinger. Baldy, how you doing, bud? You all right?
Yeah, heck yeah, Joe. Am I across the finish line? I'm getting ready to go on vacation here. I'm back in Florida. Like, life is good right now, Joe.
Good, man. Well, listen, the game was not great, but you did a great job of breaking some things down. We got so caught up in talking about the mismatches and the way Philadelphia dominated, especially the line of scrimmage. I felt like we kind of left the coaching out. I just thought, starting with Vic Fangio, to hold Mahomes to one first down in the first half, it's got to be one of the greatest first halves of Super Bowl history for a defensive coordinator.
No question about it, Joe. I mean, it's up there with the 85 Bears. Anything that the Steel Curtain did in their four Super Bowls, I mean, it was just that dominant. But it really started with their front four, and Vic did a great job of really – they had a new defensive line coach, Clint Hurt. He really developed a lot of these younger players, Nolan Smith, Jalix Hunt, Moro Ojomo, some of these guys that aren't household names. I mean, they didn't blitz one time, Joe. Not once.
It's incredible.
38 dropbacks for Patrick Mahomes, not one blitz the entire night. He didn't need to. The front four dominated up front. You know, and then they – you know, Vic really – got those guys, especially the young guys, I mean, they tackle really well. They don't miss tackles. They don't blow assignments. And so all the things that you'd want from a executed.
Hey, Baldy, the other part of this is we were just talking about teams that could make the next team to look like Denver or Washington coming up. And I'm not so sure, man, that Rams, that defense got so much better towards the end of the year. They look like they could be right back in this just from the drafting that they've done over the last couple years.
No question. I mean, you look at Byron Young and Kobe Turner. They were both third-round picks 2 years ago. And then Braden Fisk and Jared Verse this year, the first and second-round picks.
Jeez.
They've got four young defensive linemen, Joe. They gave the Eagles some problems, you know, in that playoff loss. But that's the future. The future really is what the Rams have been doing, what the Eagles have done, drafting young defensive linemen, developing them, and getting those young on the field where they can practice hard, they play hard, they play a lot of snaps. I mean, build your defensive lines, build your offensive lines, put the emphasis and all of your resources there. That's what the Rams are doing, and that's how the Eagles – it just won that Super Bowl.
I think we're all still numb to the fact that Kansas City, like some people are going, they didn't look like they were into it. They looked like they thought they were just going to show up and win because they really got – it could have been worse. They got pounded right from the start of the game. How'd you look – is there that big a difference in talent? Did you think it was more about coaching or the combo of everything for that blowout?
Well, I think, they couldn't find a left tackle, Joe, so they moved their Pro Bowl left guard to left tackle. And he was a band-aid. He was good during the regular season. A couple playoff wins, he held up pretty good. He was not good on Sunday.
No, he got shoved around.
So, you know, they had a free agent left guard in there. He got shoved around, the left tackle guy. You know, and they couldn't hold up. And so they could never, you know, they didn't convert a third down the first half, so they couldn't sustain offense, Joe, and stay on the field. And so there they are at the end of the third quarter. It's 34-0. Now, if you can't get into your game plan and at least – you know, get your running game going, bounce things up, because you're off the field in three plays, then that makes it really hard on everybody, hard on the coach, hard on the quarterback. Credit to Eagles, but, you know, that was really the source of the misery.
Yeah, well, listen, we've all seen, because I've just been beating the hell out of it, how good that line is, and you've been telling us about that offensive line. To be fair to you, we laugh about it, about how good the Eagles are and even their backups, and we get to see it again, and that starting five was just sensational throughout the playoffs and what they're able to do. And then we start talking about, all right, so for the Dolphins, man, that should be – another wake-up call. Like, we got to go find some of those kind of dudes, whether they're center to guard or tackle to guard or a bad tackle on another team to guard or something.
Lane Johnson has been the best right tackle in football for 13 years, all right? 13 years, but they picked him with the fourth pick in the draft. If you want an elite tackle, you got to go to the top of the draft to get him. They all went last year early. Trent Williams was the fourth pick in the draft. I mean, look at these guys that have had, you know, Hall of Fame careers. I mean, they're picked at the top of the draft. They're amongst the five best players in any draft. So you got to pick them high. But, you know, you look at what Tampa did this year and how they turned things around. They took a center in the first round. The guy's going to be a Pro Bowl center for a long time. So you can't go wrong. Now, you can go wrong if you pick the wrong guy, and the Dolphins have been guilty of that a couple of times. But if you pick the right guy at the top, you're never gonna have – any second thoughts about doing that if he becomes a great player?
You know, and I'm afraid sometimes we think it's not sexy, or the fan base is like never wants to hear about a guard or a center. We always want guys we see stats behind. But I think for once, finally, our fan base understands we got to take care of the line of scrimmage, and we can stop talking about soft or need to be, you know, tougher and all that stuff that they talk about with this team. Do you agree?
Totally. Totally, Joe. And look, Mike McDaniel can draw up. He can draft all the running backs he wants. He can get all the speed at that position that he wants, like they've acquired. But if you're not moving the line of scrimmage on some level and just, you know, leaning on people and beating people up, I mean, you can run all the fancy gimmick run plays you want. Mike's got a bunch of them. But ultimately, it comes down to moving people off the line of scrimmage and physically winning. And I don't think the Dolphins do a good job of that. The Eagles have been good. They found Mekhi Becton, never played guard before.
That's
played
incredible.
At a Pro Bowl level.
Wow.
They found Jordan Mailata in the rugby league in Australia. They developed him, never played football before. The best thing you can say about any of those linemen, Joe, on Sunday, is nobody ever called their name. Tom Brady never mentioned one of those guys the whole day.
Yeah.
That's always a great sign.
Now, it's all those guys. It's just incredible. Hey, I got to ask you, Deebo Samuel. Wants out. I'm guessing they're going to do it for him. They kind of agreed to it. They want to get something for him. What's the market going to look like for Deebo Samuel? Especially, he's got a pretty good salary there. And he's still good. Had a bit of a down year for the 49ers.
He's a good player. He's a tough guy. He's got a versatility to him. I don't think there's any question the 49ers want to unload him. I mean, they got to pay their quarterback, and they got to find some cap space to do it. It's a big contract now. You know, when he got signed last year, I think he was one of the top five highest paid receivers in the league. I don't think he's a top five receiver. He's a valuable player. It's going to be a little tricky because you're probably going to have to give up. He was a second round pick out of South Carolina, Joe. I would imagine you're going to have to give up a third round pick and pay the majority of the salary. It's not going to be easy to get done.
That would be an well, what are your thoughts on Cooper Kupp? What will the market look like for him?
Since winning the Triple Crown, which is a great achievement, and winning a Super Bowl and the Super Bowl MVP, he's had two really injury-marred years, and he's 32. So, I don't know, Joe. Like, I'm watching the Eagles here. Like, all they did was get younger.
Right.
Across the board. Jeez. You know, Devontae Smith is 25. Jalen's 25. You know, I just believe in getting younger, drafting and developing, Joe. And you can spend a lot of money in free agency if it's the right guy. Like, Zach Bond was the right guy, but they didn't give up a ton of money to get him. He became a great, great player. Do your homework in free agency. Get a guy that's going into his second contract, not his third, where you get him at 25 years old. You're going to get the best out of him at a position of real need. But I believe in just drafting and developing, getting a lot of picks, and hitting your draft picks, Joe.
Brian Baldinger here with us on QAM Insider Calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store. To add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season.
All right. Hey, we jump right back at with Brian Baldinger right now. So, hey, Baldy, you know what time it is, man. It's quarterback time again. Six or seven teams looking for one.
Yep.
And a couple in the draft. Probably two, maybe a third one in the first round, but then you go to the free agent class. I'm guessing Sam Darnold's going to be a starter for somebody. What about Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers? Both those guys for you going to be starting this year for somebody?
I don't know, Joe. Like, you know, do you really want to invest in Aaron Rodgers at age 42? Like, is he just a Band-Aid stopgap? Because that's what he's supposed to be for the Jets. And, you know, nothing changed with them. So, I don't, you know, at some point, players have to look in the mirror, Joe, and just go, I've had my career. It's a young man's game. And Russell, too. You know, like some point, like Troy Aikman retired when he was 33 years old. You know, like he couldn't get out of bed in the morning. But he had his Hall of Fame career. Like, not everybody should play to 40. In fact, I don't know if anybody should play to age 40 anymore. Like, you just look at these young guys, Joe. It's a young man's game. And for those quarterbacks, I'm sure somebody's going to sign them because we always need quarterbacks. But what are you really going to get when you sign these guys right now?
Yeah, well, listen, after going through the Tua thing and Tua missed six games last year, the Dolphins, I guess that's got to be a little bit of a priority. You can't trust Tua to come back and not get injured. He's not doing it on purpose, right?
No. Look, I mean – we saw the hit early in the season, like Buffalo, whatever it was, and there he is on the shelf. Like, you have to have, and that's been a big issue for them. They have not had quality backup quarterbacks when he's gone down, and the season went the tank because of it. So, I mean, I would be interested in signing one of those guys to be the backup right here and to be able to fill in, you know, when something like that might happen. Hopefully it doesn't. He's only had one season where he hasn't been injured.
Yeah, no, I know. And it was the one he got the contract. So we've been talking about this, and some people are going, why can't we have an open competition with Tua? And I go, because you gave Tua franchise money, and when he's healthy, he's going to be better than anything you most likely bring in. So he's coming in as a starter. You're not paying him 50-something million a year to worry about a competition. He's coming in. We got to get a backup for him. And people are going, whoa, was he scared of competition? I go, that's not what – you agree with me or not? Or are you –
Yeah, Joe, no, Joe. I'm totally in cahoots with you. Like, you're the franchise quarterback. You get every rep, okay? You take every snap in practice. You take every snap in a game. That guy, that backup guy, hopefully he's a veteran player that has won games and knows how to win games. Not, you know, Tyrone Huntley or whatever. Like a real quarterback. And, you know, you then, when things go wrong or Tua misses a game or two games, whatever, then he gets a chance to play. But there is no competition. Tom Brady was never challenged. Drew Brees was never challenged. Jalen Hurts is never challenged. Patrick Mahomes is never challenged. I mean, those guys are your starters, and they get every rep, and the offense runs through them. And there is no competition.
Before I let you go, does Kansas City got to go back now? I know they breezed through the – well, they got a little tougher at the end, but they win the AFC again. But now do they all of a sudden have to look after what just happened to them? Like, man, we just can't have Patrick Mahomes working magic and a blitzing defense that got even controlled and on that side of the ball. Do they look for a major upgrade at, like, offensive line and skill position players?
No question. Well, offensive line, I believe – you know, they're going to prioritize a left tackle. They got to get that position right. Now, look, when you're picking 31, 32 every year,
yes,
every you're not year. Going to get the elite guys, you know, but you're going to have to figure something out to go get one of these elite guys. I think they need an elite big back. They just keep rotating these guys in their Kareem Hunt, whatever. But, and then I think, you know, everybody is looking for an elite pass rusher the way the Eagles have put those guys out there. I mean, I think I think Xavier Worthy is going to be a star. Like, I think that guy is legit. Not because he scored two touchdowns in garbage time, but that guy can get behind any defense. And so I think they've got some guys there. You know, we'll see what happens to Travis Kelce. It's a good year for tight ends in this draft. I can see them tight end, left tackle,
running back. I mean, you can put their draft together, and they could be right back to where they were.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one to watch, man, is that AFC could open back up a little bit after what just happened. Anyway, hey, Baldy, thank you, man. Great having you. Have a great vacation. Where are you headed to, if you don't mind me getting into your business? Where are you going?
I think I'm going to hit Belize. I think I'm going to hit Martinique. And I'll probably get back to Costa Rica for a little bit. A little 2 weeks get lost out there in the Caribbean Trail.
Hey, Baldy, man, I'll tell you what. Yeah. I'm living through you, brother. That's all I can tell you. I'm going to leave it at that. You take care and have a great trip.
All right, Joe. You got it, buddy. All right. Thanks. Talk to you soon.
Brian Baldinger, Odyssey NFL Insider.
He's also the host of the best football show podcast, Insider Calls, are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise Mayo Game Day. Be delicious.
I don't think Baldy's ever been married. He's never done it. He goes on these trips. There were some people smiling. There were some guys smiling going, yeah, I'm on to Baldy's game. Hey, I'll tell you what I'm on to. Beverly's Jewelers, man. Oh, my God. It just snuck up on me, Woody. We just talked about it. Valentine's Day is this Friday. Mrs. Rose is just waiting to see if I'm gonna screw this one up. I could tell yesterday. She goes, is he going to screw this one up? And I go, nope, I'm going to be ready to go. But I got to tell you, Valentine's Day is time to get engaged. And if you're going through it, I told one of my guys here, thinking about getting engaged. I said, hey, Beverly's Jewelers, you got to go check it out. Everybody's been talking about this stunning 3-carat certified lab-grown diamond, VVS Clarity, e-color set in a custom-made 14-carat gold engagement ring for just $3,999. A beautiful engagement ring. VVS Clarity. I mean, e-color. It's got everything. It is fantastic. You can get it all shapes, larger size available at similar savings. But hurry, this deal is only going to be for a limited time. It was built for you guys to have during Valentine's, around Valentine's Day, for the big engagement ring that's going to make you look like a superstar. Plus, gold prices are at an all-time high. Beverly's is paying top dollar for your gold, your silver, your diamonds, and jewelry with immediate payment right there on the spot. Jeff and Amanda are ready to go to you. So, listen, we got Valentine's Day's coming up. You got birthdays and anniversaries. You need to score big. They got a great selection of diamond studs and tennis bracelets. Anything you need that says I love you. Hey, it's perfect time to get to Valentine's Day at Beverly's Jewelers. It really is. I trust Beverly's Jewelers, have for more than 30 years, and you will too. Visit their Fort Lauderdale showroom on Commercial Boulevard or shop online at bevjewelers.com. Beverly's Jewelers, where South Florida really does get engaged.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com.
All right, Woody, let's go right to him. Always a good friend. Season's over, but we never let this guy get any rest. Charles Davis, CBS NFL analyst, along with Ian Eagle. You get to hear him every Sunday and sometimes on other days as well, as we say good morning to Charles. Charles, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Joe. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. So everybody said this Philadelphia roster was the best in football. A lot of people I know felt that way. And then on top of that, you throw in really good coaching, and that was a butt kick, and nobody saw coming. But I just thought all the things that Mahomes' greatness has been able to cover up finally got exposed in that game a little bit, along with the coaching staffs probably not getting enough credit. I thought Philadelphia's coaching was outstanding. What'd you think?
Yeah, I agree with you on just about every count there, Joe. I think that going into it, it was a good consensus that the best roster was Philadelphia's. The coaching part is the part I like that you brought up about it, because you know as well as anyone, coaching and development is a huge part of any sport, any aspect of it. If you want someone to be great, if you want a team to be great, it has to be the overall coaching, development, everything. So let's just take Jordan Mailata, the left tackle for Philadelphia, as an example. I don't know that there's been too many better stories about player development than Jordan Mailata in the history of the NFL, and that's not hyperbole.
Yeah.
He's a rugby player from Australia. He had never played the game before. They saw the traits. They saw the physical,
dimensions in front of them.
Amazing.
They drafted him to make sure they did not have to get into a bidding war because people knew about him and is like, okay, who's going to sign him as a free agent and just take a flyer? Philadelphia had a plan, and that plan is Jeff Stoutland University, their offensive line coach, who develops people as well as anyone.
Yeah.
And this kid was willing to learn and work at it. And here we are, X number of years later. Joe, it was, I believe, the Dallas draft in Arlington, Texas, where he got drafted. I was working for NFL Network, and we interviewed him. And he came to our set and had to go past the barrier and stepped over the barrier like Andre the Giant used to step over the top rope coming into the ring.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, my goodness. And but then I thought, yeah, but he's never done this. Like, how do you pick this up? And look at where we are.
Yeah.
So put all that together. And then I'll end the soliloquy with Howie Roseman, general manager. I don't know that a general manager's had a better last year than Howie Roseman. Free agency, draft, the coaching decisions that were made because Vic Fangio comes in as D coordinator. Kellen Moore is in as offensive coordinator. Nick Sirianni goes from 2-2 and screaming at fans after a loss against Cleveland to becoming a much better, well-rounded head coach with attention on what the details are, not the fans. And, of course, Saquon Barkley is the free agent lynch piece. It does the whole thing. So there you go, folks.
Yeah. Wow. That's it. But it's a hell of a story. Hey, Charles, I got to ask you this because you live it every Sunday. You have one of those officials with you every time there's a call and you go, what'd you think? And so you did that and they used it. Did I hear, did it sound, I wanted to get your take on this because you have, you do it every weekend. And that is, it sounded like the official that was with Brady was actually, they were able to talk the NFL on calls to find out the league was telling them what the officiating was telling them what they saw or didn't see on pass interference or some of the other things. Is that what took place?
It wouldn't surprise me, but I don't know because wasn't in there with Mike Pereira, who was doing it for the game for that network. So I'm not sure about that part. But it doesn't surprise me because in the biggest game of the year, everyone, of course, concerned about officiating. We had that, you know, narrative about Kansas City getting all the calls. And then, of course, the first big call of the game was the 4th-and-2.
Right.
And I know, you know, I was at the game with Ian, and we were doing the game for international broadcast, so we were not listening to the game broadcast. So, of course, after the game and the next day as you're reading and hearing, I hear that there was a lot of chatter, obviously, and I knew there would be.
Right.
But Tom Brady disagreed with the call on the push-off on A.J. Brown. I believe Mike Pereira agreed with him that that was a call that did not have to be made. I was on the opposite side. I'm always like, hold it a minute. You guys talk all the time about hands to the head, hands to the upper part of the body. He's got a hand on his face mask, and he pushes off twice, and now we're not calling it. And then they got into the Trent McDuffie call, and here it is on a play, balls away.
Right.
McDuffie goes up, and where does he hit him? Above the head, above the shoulders. He's into the face mask. Again, they're talking about something not being called, and I'm like, whoa, hold on a minute. This is very interesting in terms of how we're looking at officiating now. To me, both calls were accurate. And if you're going to take away both of those calls and we're not going to call them, you let me know later on what exactly you're going to call.
Yeah. It's you went through it, and I hear – I actually have just got – I got to the point before the Super Bowl. I said, listen, man, I'm tired of hearing about the officials give Kansas City all the calls. I seriously – it just got old. It got lazy. It just got – you know, and I get
– Joe, real quick.
Yeah.
Real quick. I've challenged every person that's come at me with that. I said, if you're a sports, are you a sports fan? I am. I said, tell me what dynasty that no one railed at the officials protected that dynasty. Everyone, when it was Brady and the Patriots, in fact, right the week of the Super Bowl, someone sent me a cartoon from back in that day when the Patriots were going for another Super Bowl, and it's a picture of handsome Tom Brady, a cartoon of Brady smiling. And three officials in the background hold up signs and said, go Tom, go, or go Pats, go.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? They said the same thing about Brady's Patriots. They said the same thing about when the Packers were winning Super Bowls and NFL championships, when the Steelers were winning them. And pick your sport. You think people didn't criticize the officials when Michael Jordan went to the hoop? Yes, they did.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Absolutely.
When you are a top dog, everyone thinks you're getting that, and everyone gets tired of you. Guess what, folks? The officials didn't decide this game. And by the way, they missed a huge one on Mahomes late in the game. Not that it would have changed the outcome, but on the forced fumble by Milton Williams, Jalen Carter stroked him right in the face mask on that play. No call.
Right.
The only call was taking the ball and trying to spike it over the goalpost. But he hit him helmet to helmet right down the mask. No call. But, yes, that's right. Kansas City gets every call last time I checked. Give me a break.
You know, the other part of this is crazy. Listen, they make it real clear when they sit with us before the season starts. They have the officials, and they go, hey, guys, number one job, protect the quarterbacks. Anything high to the head, anything. I know you guys don't like sometimes the way the sacks are called when they land on the quarterback. We're going to call it because people want to see these quarterbacks stay healthy. And by the way, there was a lot of quarterbacks that stayed healthy and played every game except maybe the last one of the year where they had already wrapped up position in the playoffs. Yeah. So
I
guess
it
worked, you know. It worked.
It works. And then you and I watch games, and there's times when those calls are bad. I'm not going to sit here and say every call these officials make are great. They are not. They are human. They're going to miss some. They make way more good calls than they do bad ones. And we like to pick and choose what call is great, what call is bad, and then assign a grade for the day on these people. And it's just absolutely wrong. Like most of these calls are pretty well on target. The quarterbacks being hit, not crazy about some of those calls. But as you said, this is where they're going to err on the side of.
Yes.
But I do want the quarterbacks to take some responsibility. These late slides.
Yes.
These cat and mouse on the sideline. Some of that's got to stop. If you want us to play brother-in-law's defenders, then go out of bounds where you say you're going to go out of bounds. Don't get two or three more yards on me to make me look like a fool, because the next time I'm going to throw a forearm right into your neck.
Yeah. No, it's a great point. I've been saying that same thing, like some of the late slides and some of the other things, which, by the way, a lot of you guys have all been saying. Well, you know, it's about that time for that other topic. What, 6, 7, 8 teams need a quarterback, and you're going, well, you can't get them all through the draft, and what's out there in free agency? I want to ask you this question. Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, and Sam Darnold will be starters next year to start the season in the NFL.
I think there's a very good chance of that being true. Very good chance of that being true. Now, for Aaron, it's got to be, does he want to play for a team? Because I'm not so sure, if I say a team, I'm not so sure he can kind of dictate going to a team that is ready-made to try and make a run for it. He went to the Jets because he thought the Jets were ready, you know, hey, they were ready for a big run, and he was the big piece. I don't know the teams look at him as the big piece anymore.
Yeah.
After the last couple of seasons, after the surgery, and if these reports are true, Joe, which I'm sure you've seen, the Jets in their meeting with him told him, hey, if we do want to bring you back, all this McAfee show, all this other stuff, it's going to end. We can't have it. Wow. That's a whole different ballgame then. Yeah. Whatever you want to bring to town, Aaron, you come on, man. We'll do it. You know,
I don't think anybody's going to allow that again. Yeah.
Yeah. And what happens with Russell Wilson? Does someone grab him? Darnold still seems to be kind of the belle of the ball, despite the last couple of games. But my thing with Sam Darnold is you finally achieved the success you want to achieve in the NFL. Are you sure leaving Minnesota is the right way? I don't care what the dollars are. Because the coaching in Minnesota, the style of play, the people you're throwing to, a good offensive line, you're going to get your Pro Bowl left tackle back next year. Is the money worth it to go someplace else that maybe is not the same situation? Because this is a situation where you have flourished and played the best football of your life. That's the question I would ask him. And obviously you have to ask Minnesota,
are you ready to insert J.J. McCarthy right now, or do you want one more year of Sam Darnold? Yeah.
No, all good stuff. So I got to ask, I know you've been working with Senior Bowl. You were out there, and as well as starting to work on the draft, the second part of your job in the offseason. Strength of this draft to you looks like what positions, would you say, overall?
Big people, offensive, defensive lines. Yeah, offensive, defensive lines. That's kind of what I'm seeing right now. You know, meat and potatoes type players, as my colleague Daniel Jeremiah aptly described them when we opened up the Senior Bowl. That's kind of where the star power is, which doesn't overly excite NFL fans when it comes to draft time. They're going to want to talk Cam Ward. They're going to want to talk Shedeur Sanders. Who's the third quarterback? But I think that these offensive, defensive linemen are kind of the deal. Abdul Carter, the pass rusher for Penn State, may be the best player in the draft when it's all said and done. Kind of like Jalen Carter was a few years ago, but Jalen dropped because of off-field stuff. Right now, I'd say Abdul Carter's right at the top of the food chain. I think the two quarterbacks are going to go very, very high. But I think if you actually truly rank them as the top players in the draft, I think that their number would be more in the 20s than it would be 1, 2, or 3. It's a different year for quarterbacks. But I think people are very careful about what they're going to say and how they're going to go about it. That's just the way that I see it. And out of last year's 6 quarterbacks that went in the first 12, there's a case to be made that neither one of these top 2 quarterbacks would go ahead of the first 6.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? And I got to ask you this, too, while we're talking about this. You saw the Dolphins play a few times. I've been all over since the end of the season. Everybody's talking about all these different positions. We got to fix this offensive line. I want to get your take on what you see in the games you've done with the Dolphins. What do you think would be the upgrade?
Oh, you know, listen, the offensive line there are players, if you're talking about players in the draft, there are plenty of players for it. I don't think you have any worries at all. Probably the best player at the Senior Bowl last week was a guard from North Dakota State named Gray Zabel. He's played guard, tackle, center. A lot of people would see him as a starting center for them. So there was a case to be made that he was the best player all week long at the Senior Bowl. So, yeah, offensive, defensive line, the whole thing. Joe, I'm just going to say what I've said before to you about the Dolphins. We all like to watch them play. I think fans love to watch them, especially in the early part of the season when their speed just overwhelms people. But until they go toe-to-toe and beat people that you have to beat with consistency, this is where we are.
Yeah. Well, listen, hopefully it gets better. Hey, Charles, man, I really appreciate you spending a few minutes with us just to talk about everything, kind of wrap it up, and I want you to have a good offseason, my man. But I'll be talking to you soon.
Hey, I look forward to it, Joe, as always. Thanks a lot. And worked out perfectly. I was able to ride with you all the way to my workout now. Now I'm going to go get brutalized. All right?
Okay. You stay in shape for both of us. I like that. Thanks, Charles.
You take care, Joe. Be good.
All right. Charles Davis, CBS NFL analyst. And interesting stuff with the officiating. See, he thought the calls were okay. Said no problem. Disagree with those guys. All right. We've got more stuff to get to here, but first I do want to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers, man. 14 dealerships throughout South Florida, so let's start with convenience. One close to you for a great experience to see what's going on here with the all-new Equinox. Boy, I'll tell you what, the 2025 all-new Equinox is special. Convenient driver tech, dynamic eye-catching exterior. Man, you got an SUV loaded with smart style and practical dependability. Right over to a 2025 Traverse, our midsize SUV. Spacious as can be, man. Comfortable seating for everybody. Boy, it almost feels like a big boy SUV. Almost feels like it's in the Tahoe family, but it's not there. But I'll tell you, it's got everything you need, including plenty of room for your cargo. Turbocharged 2.5-liter engine also gets better performance and is ready to go for you. And then, of course, the legendary Silverado trucks, man. It's like they've custom-made a truck perfect for your lifestyle. 4 different capable engines, according to what kind of power you need, they've got it all for you. Hey, whether it's towing, whether it's working, whether it's family, Silverado makes a perfect truck for you. Working 5, 6, 7 days a week out of that truck. Hey, see your South Florida Chevy dealers today for outstanding offers going on right now at your South Florida Chevy dealers.